Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. They use terms like we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. This was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use the full power of centralized government. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape. This is the last stand on earth.
When we're back, I'm your host, Garrett Goldsberry. My co-host, Stevie J, back over there on the ones and twos. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, share over at Rumble, Apple, Clout Hub. We're not on YouTube. We're not on Spotify, so they can get fucked. Check out our sponsors, Dr. Kirk Elliott. Kirk Elliott, two L's, two T's, PhD.com/SGT, SAM, for all your gold and silver needs. As you can tell, the banks are imploding. Everything's going crazy. So we've been screaming from the rooftop for years, get yourself some physical gold or silver. You can also turn over your 401ks, 403bs, IRAs. Dr. Kirk can help you do that. Check over our boys at MyPatriotCigar.com. Promo code SGTSAM. That's our boys over there from We the People and the Great Divide podcast. Go check them out. Any order over $100 is free shipping, and you get 15% off with the Sergeant and the Sam. And last but not least, Freedom First Coffee. Go check them out. We're gonna have Jeff Dworkin back on the show. He's over at Freedom First. Check us out. Get yourself some coffee. Wake up in the morning, have a nice cigar. Maybe go out and buy some silver. It's a great thing. We're one-stop shop over here, but we do American shit over here, but we are super excited today. We have somebody who's literally become one of the most famous memes in the world. I wanted to ask him about that because that's pretty awesome. But if you don't notice those luscious locks looking like Thor over there, check out my man Adam Johnson over there from the dirty south. What's going on, Bubba?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, we are super excited to have you on. Steve's been like cloud nine. He's like, I got him. And I'm like, nah, that's awesome. And then it was even cooler because a little bit off air, we were talking about me and Adam having some common interest in jiu-jitsu. So we know a lot of the same people, which is just funny. It's a small world, not only in the Patriot side of things, but also in the jiu-jitsu community. So I just kind of want to turn it over, and we're just going to shoot the shit, and we want to know a little bit about your experience, whatever you can tell us, obviously, and we'll take it from there. And if you're not familiar exactly with what this man has done, he did what I said to my wife if I promised her I wouldn't drink on that day, because I would have been this guy right there. So if you're not familiar, he's walking around with Nancy Pelosi's little thing going through the stairs. So but great to have you on. We're super excited.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's there's a lot of stuff that goes on with that photo. People have this idea that I stole the thing. There were probably, God, at least 100 reports were like, oh, he stole it. And it's like, no, like, how do I leave the building with that damn thing?
No, it's like leaving with the presidential seal, right?
Exactly. Like, the real story is actually a lot less glamorous than what they put it out with. It was underneath a staircase out in the open, not in a locked room. I picked it up. I moved it 20 yards, like maybe 15 yards, set it down, gave a short speech. My photo was taken, and I left it in the middle of the room. Like, there's nothing more glamorous than that whole story. But the way they blew it up, I ended up going to prison for it.
Which is absolutely terrible. I was wild. Really hoping you were doing this podcast from that. Like, your computer was set on it.
Oh, like he had it in his house.
I do got a
hearing.
I do have like a mock one. I can
beautiful.
I can like speak behind if that makes it better for the audience.
You can buy them on .com. Get them there.
I actually can't sell them. So part of my plea deal is I can't make any profit off of my name, image, likeness, anything January 6th related. So what I do is I build these mini lecterns regardless, because fuck those people, right? Fuck those people.
Yep.
And I give them out to people who are taking a stand in the culture war, the social war, speaking up like zero fucks given.
We need one of those immediately.
It will be right there. It will be right there.
I'm building it
to my microphone.
I'm building my fourth batch, so I will make sure you guys are on the list for sure.
Dude, that's
awesome.
Dude,
that'd be awesome.
So, you know,
collector's item.
So what, I mean, as much as you can speak, is like, what was going on prior to this event that made you feel like I couldn't sit down in my, you know, land of Ronnie D, right? I can't sit down there and just watch my country burn.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of lead up to January 6th. Like, we all remember COVID as much as they want us to forget it. You know, we all remember exactly how they talked about us, what they said about us, what they requested us to do.
And what they did to our businesses.
You know, and also take these, you know, PP loans, you know, that your grandchildren, grandchildren will have to pay for 100 years later. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how they kind of forced us into a position of submission.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching these things. I'm kind of apolitical. I'm more libertarian than
all
most people. than most people understand. Mm-hmm. Look, man, I am anti-war, mostly because I got a bunch of sons and I don't think they should have to die in a war that I have no business being in.
No skin in the game.
Exactly. You know, so we're watching COVID happen. We're watching, you know, the threats come from, you know, from afar and, you know, domestic, you know, more importantly. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it that the establishment is so much against this one guy who is some reality TV star who just by happenstance gets to be elected? Because before all of this, I didn't trust the voting system. I was like, I use this analogy, right? Imagine you got your wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in your wallet, you have $10. You drop it on the ground and someone takes the $10. Are you upset?
A little bit.
What if it's $100? $10. Yeah. What if it's $100?
More upset.
What if it's $1,000?
Now you're getting blood.
Right? It's definitely progressive, right?
Yep.
So the whole voting system is based on people who have a lot of fucking money in the game. And the more that increment goes up, the more you're going to be a person who is involved in making sure you don't lose that money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is how I viewed voting for a very long time. When Trump got in 16, I thought to myself, holy shit, like maybe voting actually works. Maybe there is a way for the people to speak up and have their voices heard, and we can change the country back into the image of what I grew up with, that 1990s, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
we say it all the time.
Yep, we're defeating racism because we're not talking about it. We're just involved in all of each other's lives, and we're all living together with the same goal. We want affordable housing. We want good jobs. We want to live that dream that we were promised, right?
Yep.
And then all of that started to go away. And I watched what happened when Trump got elected, the whole mainstream media, all of Hollywood musicians who, why the fuck do they have opinions on politics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Eminem was one of the biggest people. I was like, are you serious? Because Congress came to you and said, you can't rap about what you're rapping about. And now you're shilling for the people who told you, you can't say those words.
Yeah,
right?
No, 100%. Well, there's a lot behind that Eminem. If you go down some other rabbit holes, if he's still even around, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm watching these things and I'm thinking there is just a machine that exists that churns out the next people who are going to run things that will do the exact thing that they have planned to have happen for 10 years going, right? Mm-hmm. So I see these things happen and I think to myself, if we don't speak up now, if we don't get involved now, it's over. It's over. Everything is gone and everything we're doing is moot, from having conversations on podcasts like we're doing, you know, to trying to raise awareness, it's already gone. We've already lost. And I'm not excited about the next steps. I guess that's kind of what makes me most hesitant to continue to speak, is what happens next is not going to be great for anyone.
No, we talk about it all the time that, you know, it's a tipping point or a boiling point or a precipice, however you want to slice it, that none of us want to be, especially, you know, people that are familiar with violence, people that, you know, have served, you know, so people who have been at war that have seen it, like Stevie himself, like, you know, like, I've seen real violence. Steve's seen real violence. I'm sure you've seen real violence, right? Yeah. Like, we know the people that call for violence are people that have never been in violent situations.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they couldn't even fathom. Man. They couldn't even fathom how crazy it gets. So, you know, I think most of us are pretty understanding, pretty like, and I mean, you brought up a thing, you know, saying about racism in the 90s. Me and Steve have talked about this on the show. Like, we grew up, like, we're the most tolerant.
I think last episode. Group.
Yeah, I think we're the most tolerant. Last
episode, we're like, dude, remember the 90s over there? They were the greatest. Oh, yeah,
we talked about it with our other buddies, Skag and Cap, that we do a show with, too, the Tomb Doom Men. Check them out. They're fucking awesome. You love them.
Right.
Two Bronx boys. But, you know, we were talking about, like, the 90s was, like, the best time in the world. There was just enough technology. There was still so much culture and things and everything going on. Like,
look at awesome movies.
Yeah, look at Netflix. Music. Look at all this stuff. It's just a regurgitated repeat, reprint. Nothing's new. Nothing's fresh. Nothing's fun. And like I said, we are the most honored because we grew up where there was no segregation. Like, there was every race, creed, religion in your school, and it just was. It is what it is. Yeah. Like, we didn't give a fuck. We were all just trying to go one.
It didn't matter.
One foot in front of the other.
We race centrist. I mean, I watched Captain Planet, so I obviously care about the environment. Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, we watch these things. Like, obviously, the planet matters because we all live here, you know?
Especially if you hunt, you fish. Like, people don't understand that, you know, the conservationists are the people that actually use the land and do everything. They want to preserve it. They're not all poachers. They're not all just killing the wildlife. They're not all just, you know, raping the land. They're the ones that actually go out and preserve it.
Exactly. I went to college. I apologize ahead of time. And part of the classes I took.
I went to college too.
Not me. Entrepreneur since day one. So fuck that indoctrination shit.
They were talking about preserving environments. And if you look at whenever they try to make an ecosystem where they bring in all the animals to make one animal survive, they can't manipulate it better than what God designed.
Ever.
What ends up happening is that the ecosystem gets ripped apart. The one animal they want to save, sure, they save them, but the other animals that exist end up killing more animals along the way. We can't develop our own ecosystems. Like, things have been naturally inclined to progress the way they've always been meant to progress. Like, at a lot of times, we just get in our own way. And sometimes we just got to realize, like, we're not God. Like, we are not the people who designed this. We're not the people in charge of it. Maybe what we're supposed to do is focus on loving, understanding, accepting, having truthful conversations with each other, and promoting a life that is worth living, that we can all exist under.
So basically, you're a white Christian nationalist. Got it.
Yeah, the FBI hates me.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's,
we're going to go on a list anyway, so you might as well just keep
going. Exactly. Hello.
I'm on so many lists.
I know.
Oh my God.
So, but this is the thing, like, you know, you intelligently and eloquently speak, you know, you're caring, you're loving, you're, you know, from what I've just hear, like, I could just hear it in your voice that you're a decent human being, you know, and the way we all do, like, I say it all the time, I'm a sinner, I know I'm a sinner, I'm fucked up, but I just try to be a little bit better, buddy. every single day. Like, tell me somebody who's not a sinner and I'll show you a liar, you know, like, it's just not how it is. We're none of us are perfect. Yeah, right. Dirty bastard over there. But, you know, like, and they portray people like you and ourselves that we're just these crazy lunatics and we're extremists and we're this and that. And it's like, We say it all the time. I'm like, left wing, right wing, same bird. I don't like it. Stevie's a little bit more of a righty. Okay. Me, I'm more of a burn it down motherfucker. That's just me, you know. But because you said, at this point in the game, after everything that's gone down over the years, like, we know our vote doesn't count. We know our vote is manipulated. We're not on YouTube, so we can say this. Okay. But we know that, and that's why I think a lot of us showed up on those days and the days prior and the day of to like you said, get your voice heard in a peaceful, like, lawful way to do it. And, you know, it was bastardized, it was staged, everything else. There was a lot of things that went on that day that people saw with their own eyes. So when you were seeing the footage and film come out, and, you know, I'm not putting words in your mouth, I'm just speaking from my experience, you know, like, yeah, I was, this is not what happened. This is not legit. Like, you can't tell me 1984 it and not believe my own eyes. Like, yeah. you can't tell me things were staged. There wasn't people with microphones, this, that, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think they've done this for a reason, and they did things like this to people like you, is to make good, strong men be scared to stand up. Mm-hmm.
Yep, 100%. They
we will take your livelihood. We will take your family. We will take your freedom.
Examples.
Just because, oh, you're not accepting something that was lied to. So, you know, it's a very tough situation to be in. And I think a lot of people, like you said, like, I've had, you know, you spent time because of this event. I know people that are local by me that are still sitting in jail for things at this event. And, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't even being charged. Like, what the fuck is going on here, right? So, you know, I think this experience, and it's very hard, especially like where we live, like, we're up in the Northeast, like, there's definitely a lot more blue in our air. I live in a very red part of my state. He lives in a very red part of his state. But, you know, it's just even trying to bring, you know, light to some people's eyes. Some people are just lost, man. They took everything hook, line, and sinker, the COVID narrative, everything else. And those are the same people right now that are having multiple strokes. Those are the people that can't use their face anymore. And they're people I know in my tight circle that I fought with and everything else. And now I'm like, look, man, look what happened.
We got to stop saying they're lost, though. I think a huge takeaway. They're not lost. No, they want to win. They want to win at any cost. And that's really what we're battling, right?
Power.
Is these people think, as long as my side wins, then I win. And what they don't realize is any power you give to the government can be used against you on a long enough timeline. And that timeline gets drastically shorter every inch you give to the government.
1,000%. So
these people, you realize, like, stop giving them power, because they'll keep using it. So even in Florida, DeSantis came out with this act where you have to have a real ID to work in Florida. And the idea is where you cannot be a legal immigrant and work in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, it's still a registry, right? You still have
the real ID, like, where it's like your passport, everything all in one. So for people that don't understand, because, like,
I have one.
Of course you do. Of course you do, Stephen. Of course you do. Because you still believe in voting. Shut up. So anyway, I love your body, but, like, you know, like, you know, this is just where we're at. But I didn't understand, because, like, when I had to renew my license, because, you know, we have to renew it every couple of years. Like, they're like, you want a real ID? I'm like, no, I want a fake one, asshole. Like, and they're like, no, a real ID. And then I realized, because, like, even on, like, my license says, this is not a real ID.
Yes. And TSA, like, needs them to fly. It's a thing they're doing. And this registry.
What, this registry, Mark of the Beast?
This registry's been something they've been doing for a long time. Dan Crenshaw voted for it with the vaccine mandates out in Texas. Oh, that guy's
he's the biggest piece of shit Bond villain, motherfucker.
Let me just say this really quickly. I hope you're watching, Dan Crenshaw. I think you're a rhino piece of shit. And there is nothing you've done to actually serve your country.
Yep, one eyed Willie over there. There you go. Good.
So I got that out.
Like, why are they yelling at me, man?
Well, yeah, yeah. come fucking roll with me. Yeah,
yeah.
So I feel like all of these pushes are happening from all fronts. It's the right. We know the right, the left. It's all the uniparty. It's
100%.
Yep.
It's to get people to register, get yourself on some type of, we know all of your movements, even the whole, like, I'm not a crypto bro, but I definitely understand the push towards decentralizing currency, because if we look what's going on with the US dollar, we look at what the presidents of, you know, multiple countries saying the US dollar is dead, but this deal is happening backdoors, you know, actually out in the open between multiple countries saying that the petrodollar is dead. Yeah, I think that crypto actually was one of our way outs, and they're now taking that over as well. And I think
we needed free market crypto, though, because the crypto that they're doing is also going to be controlled.
Well, that's why they did the FXT. They crashed it on purpose so they can look. It's not safe. Daddy, government will make it safe. We can do it better. FDIC. But now you're watching the banks fall apart. You're watching that whole smoke and mirrors. Like, it wasn't supposed to last this long. It wasn't supposed, like, that when they took us off the gold standard and put us on the petrodollar, like, they gave it a 30-year wait. We're almost 20 years past it. So it's 50 years past its prime, okay? Because it was in the 70s.
Right? We're only fortifying it through wars, through proxy wars, and gun running.
Of course,
that's the only way we're propping up the U.S. dollar, and we're doing it now in Ukraine. This is it's the same game over and over again. And
that's what we said. Once you're aware of the playbook, you see it happen, and you're like, "Oh, Square, like, oh, out. He's here gonna we run go. A fly. He's going to do this."
All makes sense. Yeah, that's why we're always giving money out to other foreign countries, because we're forcing them to use that market and keep it in the system in rotation. Now, the petrodollar, which was doing that, you had to convert your money into U.S. to buy petrol. That's gone now. The Chinese yuan is now taking over the U.S. dollar as a dominant as a reserve currency of the world right now.
Well, CNN's not reported that yet. So is that true yet?
I don't know. You got a point there.
That's true. Because Argentina pretty much just collapsed as well. I think
Argentina is not going to collapse. It's full of Nazis. There's no way they're going to allow that to happen.
I'm saying they're
the last currency. Bastion of Germany.
I know. It's crazy. I know.
I think their interest rate's like 97%.
We're not far behind.
I know.
No. And so we keep trying to pass these budgets, and it's like, look, at some point, hard times have to happen, right? At some point, they have to happen. You got to pay your debt. You got to do your dues. The issue is there are too many fucking pussies in America to show up to the steel factory and make the fucking work happen. That's where we are. We don't have men willing to actually go to work, and we don't have women, you know, wanted to show up and raise families. Exactly. That's where we are. Like, we've lost what the American dream actually is.
That was 100%. Was the American dream pushed as a single income home, a nuclear family? You can own a home. A father could work. The mother can raise the kids.
Yep.
Keep the government out of everything. And this keep to yourself, be a good person, be good to your neighbor. Take care of your community, take care of your kids and neighbors' kids, or at least not take care of them, look after them. And
that sounds awful.
It sounds terrible. And then all of a sudden,
I can't even fathom the amount of toxic masculinity you just threw at me. I feel
sorry.
I feel poisons in my soul.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to ruin your guys' day by telling you how things were awesome back in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different conversation.
Then Obama became president, and that was all destroyed.
Here comes that's white nationalism again.
Hey, first of all, I'm proud we had our first black gay president.
Married to a transgender lady?
I'm very excited about that. And we should all celebrate
that. Just shows
that.
How diverse we are.
Well, I'm not saying that that wasn't a good point. When he became president, everything that I just said was totally destroyed.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you, because for for me, like, and, you know, the second time Obama was elected, I felt that was the start of a cold civil war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was the first time I was like, there's no fucking way this jerk off won. There's no way.
Well, when you run Mitt Romney, who is basically like Pedialyte Obama. McCain.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
It's so true.
It's so true. Like, I think when I saw Obama get elected, so I will say this: my wife voted for Obama
First term. One of our best friends who's like the biggest Trump supporter ever. He's on We the People radio. His first time ever voting was voting for Obama. He's like, they'll never let a black guy be president. I'm definitely voting for him. And then he's like, holy shit, he is.
We wanted it, though. Like, we wanted to know that our country is not that. Because, again, the centrist independent libertarian party is all about, we want the most amount of freedoms for the most amount of people. I don't, like, look, I don't see color. I treat everyone like the asshole they are.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So we wanted that shit. So when we voted for Obama, you know, when he ran, it was because we wanted a country that didn't have, you know, lines in the sand. We wanted to be a sandbox environment where people could create, we could make America a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And we bought into it. We bought into the idea that, you know, if we just vote this way, if we just surrender any idea of, you know, actually researching people and understanding, you know, the people pulling the strings behind the scenes, that we'd win. And it took us a hard 12 years to realize, and this goes back to Bush too. And that's a whole conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different conversation. Well, like my buddy always said too, he's like, once you found out Bush and Kerry were both Skull and Bonesmen, like, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter, because if you follow, like, I don't know how deep you get into those things, but if you follow, it's Bonesman before anybody, from your mother, your sister, everything else. So it really didn't matter who got in, because they were going to control it. And look at what, 30 years down the road, who's the climate czar?
Yep.
Who's still flying shit? Who was the Secretary of State? Who was this? Who's been in the long game? He's done better than the president, because he's been able to actively stay in there. And those are the motherfuckers you got to watch. Excuse my language, but those are the ones you got to watch out for. These people that don't move every election cycle, that are been there in the CIA, the FBI, everywhere else. All these guys that have been they know presidents come and go.
Have you seen Dianne Feinstein?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, like, my, yeah.
Between her and Biden, like, you are literally just abusing elderly people. Dude. If they're still people and they're not just me too. Just saying.
This is the same conversation I have every podcast I do. If you think it's a 4-year battle, you're a fucking moron. Sorry about the language.
No, you're good.
It's fine.
I'm bad mouth, and
we have foul language in our mouths.
I just give less shits longer I go.
Yeah.
If you think it's a 4-year battle, you're a fucking moron. Mm-hmm. It's a 30-year battle to usurp the institutions that have been taken from us. I am an advocate for the institutions, as long as they're run by people who understand that America was supposed to be run a certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm not against public education. I think having educated populace is a good idea, but we should be educating them with things that are factual and true. And
Not indoctrination.
Exactly. So
there's a difference.
I send my kids to public school, and I get a lot of shit about this, right? You should homeschool your kids. You should, you know, teach them. Right.
Yeah, but this is the thing. How many kids you got?
5.
Yeah, I got 3. My wife would be in the fucking fetal position, like, crying games, crawling in the corner, like, twitching. Especially with having all boys, man. Yeah. Especially with having all boys. Like, my boys are wild men, too, you know? Like, they're wild little, feral little dudes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I caught shit like that. Steve's wife, actually, during COVID and stuff, she homeschooled the kids, and they were doing stuff. And they were doing co-ops. Yep, for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
It wasn't easy, because we had to find a community. It wasn't that hard to find. There was about 20 other families that we found. And we hired 2 ex-teachers, and then we hired a woman who owns a farm. They teach the kids about farming and
beautiful
raising animals. And they were literally at one point I took off work to help my son and his classmates go to this farm. Dude, she gave all the kids, which is awesome, fucking axes, bro, and they were going around chopping down trees, and then they were making toolboxes, they did shelters too, but then they were making toolboxes. So my son in his room, he has a toolbox in his room made of rough wood that he cut down from a fucking tree himself at 11 years old.
It
was great. Like, this is awesome.
I chose a similar path. I started a public group on Facebook saying teachers need to get back to work. This is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I was ahead of Unmasked.
That's the group name. Get back to work. This is bullshit.
I was the head of Unmask Our Children up by me.
Yep. So for you. I basically started a whole group. It got a lot of traction. I got a phone call. I won't bury people because they subsided at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was like, look, I'm not a teacher. I'm not qualified because you told me I'm not qualified. But somehow you're saying I'm qualified. You want to bring laptops into my home with video recording capabilities on my Wi-Fi? Go fuck yourself. Like, no, absolutely not. You do not have unvetted access into my home. Not going to happen. Never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So went back and forth for a couple of weeks. Turns out that, you know, my kids got a pass. You don't have to do the Zoom meetings. You know, go enjoy your kids for a year and a half. And that's exactly what we did. We read some classics. We exercised 3 days a week. We went bowling, fishing, hiking. It was the best year and a half of our life together. Mm-hmm. And when they came back to public school, guess what? They didn't skip a beat. Do you know why?
Nope.
Because most of the shit they're teaching in school doesn't fucking matter.
It's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
It means nothing.
Yes.
I think my son was actually, because he has ADHD and like, he doesn't respond very well in a classroom. Like he fucking, you're going to try to chain down, not chain down, but like they literally had,
proverbially.
Yes. Yeah. They literally had tape because he was in school at the beginning until I said, I ain't doing this shit anymore. They had tape around his desk and they had the things around it. I'm like, and wearing a mask, but you can't do these to kids. The kids learn by seeing your reaction, your face, your movement, your emotion. You can't just block that off and think that they're going to be okay, which studies have shown that it was absolutely not okay.
Yep.
And kids are like 3 or 4 years behind developmentally.
There are things that piss me off, dude. And I will back to January 6th, you know, my claim to fame. There are like one or two things that really fucking get me. And of those two things, it is don't hurt women. Don't fucking don't do that shit because don't, you know, you'll find out. Mm-hmm. And also get the fuck away from kids. Like do right by kids because they're fucking kids. And when I saw what happened, when I saw what happened during COVID, look, I'm willing to say I lost my shit. I'm completely fine with that. I think the moment in DC that I actually, I don't want to say lost it because it can be used against me, but definitely had an awakening. Let's say, let's say I was reborn, rebirthed at a reprisal. Yeah. I walked down to the, World War II Memorial down by the Reflection Pond and I'm seeing all these stars in front of me and each one represents 400 and something lives that were lost. During the war and you can't even see it all unless you're like 100 yards away. It's so expansive. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking how many people went to war for a war they didn't believe in. They were just told you have to die now because some people need to get rich because America freedom, right?
That's and what they freedom. Fed you. Yep.
Yep. And democracy. I started thinking about
democracy.
Started thinking about my kids and thinking about, you know, if this establishment gets back in, this is where they're going to march. Lo and fucking behold, where are we now in global politics?
Yep.
Right. Where are we now?
On the verge of World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I feel justified every day of the week for stepping up and saying, you globalist neocons piece of shit who are promoting wars and sending my kids to die. Look,
yeah, send your fucking kids.
I actually, so I have an idea. If I ever run for office, maybe I will. I want to establish. I want to establish a Abraham Act where if you are voting for war, you send your firstborn son.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like that.
You sacrifice yours.
Yeah.
If you're asking for anyone to sacrifice theirs, Abraham Act. You sacrifice yours first.
I agree.
Show
I
me
agree
it's
100% because you're going to see a lot more people. not vote that way. I say it all the time. Like, you go first. You're the ones that are saying we need to do this. We need, who the fuck is we? You mean we the people need to do it? The ones that you don't listen to, the ones that you throw our children under the bus, the ones that you bring our children to war, everything else. Like, me and Steve have talked about it a bunch of times. Like, there is no way in hell they try to draft my boys. They're going. I don't give a fuck over my dead body.
They make widows that are codependent on a federal system to pay out for it. Mm-hmm. They make victims is what they do with their wars and with their multiple wars, not just physical war overseas, with drug wars. Mm-hmm. If you look at the black community who has been launched into a horrible, horrible position with the drug wars, the CIA has been propagating for decades. Look, I am I'm a centrist libertarian. I can speak truth because I stand by my convictions. What they did to the black community for 30 years, continue to do, the people I met in prison who should not be in prison, who maybe didn't need to be there for 10 fucking years over some pot or some weekend cocaine. You know what they needed? You know what they needed? Time with their family. Mm-hmm. That's what they needed.
Yep.
And they are ruining families on purpose to make us codependent on a system. And
some of these families have been codependent on the system for generations now.
Yes.
And one of the leading people that brought up the crime bill of 1996, our current fucking president of the United States.
Yes.
He was He was the one that he was dropping hard R's on the goddamn floor, by the way.
Yep. Yeah.
Besides the point, he was the one that didn't start it, because it started with Nixon with the war on drugs.
Yep.
He brought it back in. Like he reignited the fire about this whole drug thing. Remember, if you're cut with the crack cocaine this big, you're going to jail for five to 10 years.
Like, what was he though? Because I mean, Ronnie Reagan and his wife was just say no.
Yep,
just say no to drugs. Dare. They started
Nixon's, dare. Nixon's a great conversation. They just assassinated the last president before, right? And who was that that assassinated him? Who knows? The CIA.
Yeah,
100%.
Let's just fucking say it. So,
which we've known for forever.
Yep. So let's just say the CIA chose to assassinate a president, and then you're coming in. Yep. And then you're coming in right afterwards, and then you're like, definitely war on drugs, CIA. Everything you need, bro.
Drugs. Drugs.
I mean. They all kind of fit together if you think about it, you know, very laterally. This is what happens.
Light switch goes on, I always say, once that light switch goes on, you can't turn it off. You start seeing the everything, and then you're like, that's why that's happening. That's why. And once you start understanding the playbook, like, you're like, are you really still believing that this is, like, I said, you know, I'm on the other podcast with my buddy Cap that we do on Thursdays, is like, If 10% of the shit that comes out about tunnels, kids, people, Hollywood, this, that, even 10% comes in and that veil is dropped, people are going to lose their fucking shit. There's going to be a very large percent of the population that are not going to be able to handle it. And as a waker, you know, I hate the word woke, because if you got startled and woken up, like, you're like, oh, like, once you're awake and you're cognizant of what the fuck is going on, you're like, man, like, those people are going to be in some trouble. Like, even
Cindy McCain came out and said, we knew what was going on Epstein Island, but we didn't have the fucking nuts in charge to actually go after these people. Cindy fucking McCain. And look,
I didn't even know her husband was fucking traitor.
I mean, literally shot someone in the fucking face, right? I'm just saying, like, I try to be white-pilled as often as possible, knowing what's going on around us and how little of a chance we actually stand. But look, I am determined to raise sons who are willing to defend whatever modicum of freedom we still have. Mm-hmm. I will never stop talking. I imagine I'll be dead by 45, and my wife and I have talked about this at length. You know, is this what you want to do? And I've told her, what else am I going to do to be meaningful? Because the only meaningful thing I'm doing is trying to create a world that I want my sons to live in and raise kids in.
100%. You know, I've said it to my wife as well.
Scary out there, though.
It is, but I've said to my wife as well, it's like, what kind of man am I if I tell my kids, like, I just sat there and didn't say a word?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, I couldn't live with myself being able to do that, or not showing up, or not stepping up, or not speaking out, or not trying to connect people that, like I said, you know, I'm just a little peon in the middle of nowhere. I get it. I understand. But you know what? My voice, if it connects or resonates with that one person who might eventually have the ability to affect change, then I did my job. You know, yes. I don't have to be the guy. I don't have to be that guy. I don't have to be the head of it. I don't have to, you know, like, whatever. It's just like, there's enough of us to understand that what is going on is not moral. Yeah. What is going on in this world is not right. And the direction that it is heading is not anywhere a place for anything good, any race, creed, color, religion, anything else. It's not good for any of us.
No.
And we got to right that ship.
Well, it takes people standing up. And so, again, coming, I'm a Christian perspective, right? We, I think that the church started focusing on speaking in love primarily. Mm-hmm. We're going to love people and we're going to accept them where they are, you know, because, you know, Jesus died for everyone. Mm-hmm. And what we miss is that we're supposed to speak in not just love, but truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is telling someone that you are a man, you are a woman. Children shouldn't be indoctrinated. We should protect them at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that honesty is something that we should speak to each other. If you are lying to someone, telling them there is something they are not, if you are hiding truth from them, you are doing not just a disservice to them, but a disservice to your soul.
We need
to speak in both truth and love.
And the truth doesn't always feel good.
Because you can say the truth to someone knowing it's going to hurt them, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean you don't love them.
Yes.
Like, I'm telling you this thing. It's the truth. It's going to hurt, but it's because I love you.
Yes.
So you have to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not trying to offend you or hurt you or be malicious or be nefarious.
Yes.
I'm just trying to tell you something to point you in the right direction. It might sting for a little bit. It might hurt for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize why I did it, we can keep moving forward.
But we have to be there for the fallout as well. And this is what I tell everyone who is like, I just want to shit post on Twitter, you know, and, you know, get my likes, get my clicks. No, it is not about making someone feel bad. It is about bringing them back into the fold of truth and love. These people who are willing to put you in camps for not being vaccinated, they're still Americans. They're still Americans. We need to tell them, hey, what you did was super fucked up and I don't trust you. But I love you. You are still an American. I'm willing to figure out if you are still with us or not.
Well, go to those camps you built and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, but I mean, that's why, you know, I mean, it depends how you go about this. But, you know, all the FEMA camps that have been built and everybody's worried about them for quarantine camps, you know, re-education camps. Like, I have a feeling that's going to be for the people that are not going to be able to handle mentally what is going to happen when everything comes out. And it might be a rehabilitation for a mass amount of people.
There's everyone who was not there on January 6th protesting Congress, certifying an election that had obvious issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who will be round up and say, well, it's just for a week. It's just for 2 weeks. Holy fuck. Where are my kids?
Mm-hmm.
Those are those people. And listen, I pity a lot of people. Like, I have empathy to a very large degree, but if you don't know where we are right now and where we're going, it's too late for you.
Mm-hmm.
It is too late for you. You are too late to the game. I'm watching the Durham port being released today. Have you guys seen this?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
We can go into that because we were. It's so funny. Me and my other buddy on the Thursday show. We literally just brought it up the other day. We were like, where's Durham been? It's been an awfully tight lid, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it came out everything that we knew,
Yeah, of course, 100%.
And I'm like, it didn't take $1 trillion and a special investigator to figure this one out.
15 minutes and a cigarette.
15 minutes of Google, you know?
15 minutes to figure this shit out.
People will say things like, look at all that's implicated, and that's not the right perspective. Look at all the complicit people involved. It's not the implications, it's the complicity, right? It's the people who went along with it.
Jake Tapper.
Did you see what he said on CNN?
Even Tapper came out. Yeah. Yep. Holy fuck. We were lied to. Like, you know, not quoting him, but
what do we do now? Basically,
what do we do now? Now that we know, is there any recourse? Because what I just found out is that our country is definitely run by the deep state, and there is no denying it now. There is no denying it now. We've already lost. So if we've already lost, how do we win?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a couple ideas.
Yeah, but that's why
things I will not announce, you know.
Radical thinking. Yeah. Can't talk about it too much.
Delete social media.
Yeah.
Buy some Amaris, you know, look at land.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very true, and it's very scary because everything we've been saying, like I said all the time, I'm like, I wish I was wrong. I know it sounds insane.
We say
I know
it all the time.
But every day,
I wish I was wrong.
Every day, it's something that I said a year ago that they're like, ba-bink, ba-bink. And, you know, and like you said, like I've been saying on the show forever, is like, how do you get the people, how do you hold people accountable when the corruption when the people that are supposed to hold the people accountable are the corrupted of the most corrupt?
Well, we want to hold the lowest.
Like, you trust Garland to go take charges up?
Our neighbors. You know, we want, so that's where they have us. They want to keep the lowest level of people accountable, right? Your neighbor who is like, put a mask on, your neighbor who's like, walk the right way. This is where they have us. They want us to hold our neighbors accountable, and that's where they're going to keep us. How do we keep those that were actually accountable? We're talking about the treasonous sons of bitches who put us through this. And this is not a 2-year plan. This has been a 20-year fucking plan. As far as I understand, could be longer. We could talk about Jekyll Island, all those things, Titanic, whatever, you know,
exactly.
Titanic.
Yeah.
Are you talking
about? I'll send you a link.
Oh, I know about that.
JP Morgan, meeting the
very important people involved.
Happened to miss the trip.
Yeah.
And then a year later,
remove like a dozen bronze statues from the ship before it set sail, because, you know, maybe I'll need those bronze statues before it ships out.
But also,
and all their competitors that didn't want the Western Central Bank just happened to make that trip.
And then yesterday, less than a year later, the Federal Reserve is created
again.
Yeah, again. I'm waiting for a knock at the door, guys. We're digging deep here.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that us sniper teams are aware of this. You know, like, that's what I always say. It's like, it's funny that us simpletons that have a computer can figure all this stuff out. Like, that's what I said about COVID. Like, a month in, I'm like, I don't buy this shit. Even leading up, like, once they said they were going to close us down, I was like, they're making their fucking play. They're actually going to do it. I said it to my mayor. I was like, dude, they're fucking doing it. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look how easy everybody just gave their rights up because they're fucking scared. Yeah. And he's like, you got a point there. And then it just went, just 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Then it went to this. And I was like, the thing they did was fuck up.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
They didn't turn off the internet, though.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
They screwed up. They allowed people like me to research because now I didn't have to work 12 hours a day to support my family.
Yes.
I just had to sit in my house and figure out how to keep myself busy. And you done fucked up.
So I definitely think that,
I like it.
I definitely think that we went from a place where, so I'm AOL generation 90s. We talked about this, you know.
Yeah. We're all around the same age.
Dial up, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, the internet's coming. Yeah. We're doing it. And I think that the spread of information happened so quickly they couldn't stop it. And now, like, we can share ideas. Like, I don't know where the fuck you guys are, but we're connecting states away on a live stream.
Rhode Island.
Florida, God's country.
Yeah. Dirty Jers.
And we can talk about ideas and thoughts and things you've researched. And what's going to stop this other than, you know, well, the TSA has deemed all of you to be designated terrorists. So we need to, you know, restrict Act 2.0. Even Josh Hawley was in favor of that.
I know. So I don't get it.
I do.
And I like him.
I do.
With like, certain things.
I do. And it's how do you like anyone?
It's so hard, right?
How do you like anyone? I'm sure if we talked long enough politics, there'd be things that we disagreed on.
Oh, 1,000%.
Of course.
But this is what we've said about our movement and how our thinking goes is we all don't agree on everything. Like we have like the Patriot Podcast Network. There's a bunch of different shows. Some are libertarian. Some are, you know, conservative. Some are, you know, former Bernie bros. Some are anarchists now. Some are conspiracy. But the thing is we definitely do not agree on everything. And we're not an echo chamber. Like that's my only gripe about True Social. It's a fucking echo chamber. I can't do it. I can't either. I can't. It's too much ass padding. And it's like, come on, Bubba. So, you know, like there's that. But we all agree on, and this is something that we have to come together on. We don't like the direction we're heading in. It's not the values and morals that 99.9% of us, COVID fucking effectiveness rates and everything else, don't, you know, we don't want our children to be raised like that. And I feel like if we have those core values, we could learn how to sift out all the other bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've not found these people that. So when all my shit went down, I spent some time online and I saw what the internet said about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit, I guess I should, you know, build a cave for myself because that's where I'm going to live forever. Mm-hmm. And then I went outside and outside, I have met maybe one or two people that just will not listen to me, will not understand where I'm coming from, my politics, my ideas, because again, if we talk long enough, be like, holy shit, are you liberal? Like I have some ideas that are actually very liberal, but I have some ideas that are also very conservative because that's what makes a libertarian.
Yes.
You know? But it's not real. It's not real. What you find online, what people say, what people actually, you know, project themselves to be, they're either bots or not honest.
Yes, right? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
My Brooklyn Dad defiant. Perfect example. JoJo from Jers. Perfect example. They are the worst. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing too, is like real people, like there's certain issues that it really doesn't even affect us that they make you so hypersensitive about. And you're like, that doesn't even, in my real world, like this doesn't even, this is a make pretend, make believe, you know?
The abortion debate. We can talk about this. This is fun. Right. Mm-hmm. So I noticed there's a lot of women who can't have babies anymore because they're really fucking old talking about, you know, the right to have abortions. And it's like, well, you should be part of this debate.
It's so weird. Like because old women in their 60s and 70s at these pro-abortion rallies. I'm like, first of all,
you can't even procreate.
What are you telling me?
I don't have rights because I can't carry a child. Neither can you, old crap bitch.
I know.
It's just so weird, man. I see it. I'm like, why is a woman 75 years old?
Balls.
Exactly. And so, did you see this story? There was a girl who had an abortion in Colorado, and her boyfriend murdered her afterwards because she fled Texas to get this abortion. Mm-hmm. So I've been here's where I'm at. I don't like abortion. I want to call it murder.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because there either is a life or there's not a life.
It is murder.
Because it is. I mean, I'm fine with calling it murder. It's homicide. I've always called it these things, right?
The human taking another human's life.
Yes. Now, if we want to talk about the cases of rape, incest, and, you know, life of the mother, this less than 1% population, I'm going to give you a pass because I've not been there. I've not been raped. I've not been in these positions, and I don't know what you're going through. So I can give you that less than 1% pass, you know, don't know what you're doing. I'm still going to call it murder because you're still ending a life, but I'm also not going to celebrate it. But I also won't feel like shit about it.
I'm not heartless.
Exactly. And I really think that like we need to have conversations that are articulate like that. They want to have these little sound bites, you know, where it's like, oh, you want to ban these things. Like, no, I have a heart and I understand things past a soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the conversations we should be having, because most of us,
and all of us, have had shows on this, and we've like literally dove into this and dissected it just how you are. And that's like what's crazy is like us common folk. Mm-hmm. We are capable of coming together and understanding and showing compassion and showing empathy and everything else, as much as they want to spew that we're just hate-filled motherfuckers and we're just supremacists and we're this and we're that and everything else. Like, I literally teach children how to protect themselves from being victims all day. I teach adults how to protect themselves from being victims. I teach police officers how to keep themselves safe. I teach the woman that was beaten and battered to not be a victim and to be a survivor. Like, I do this all day, and I do it of every single race, every single religion. I've been doing it for my whole goddamn life.
Yep.
So when anybody says, oh, you're racist, you're this, you're that, yeah, I'm the most racist, unracist motherfucker you'll ever meet in your life.
Because I'm a human.
I'm terrible. Half my staff is black and Hispanic and Jewish and Muslim and Christian and like that, dude. I call it all. That's a beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu. It's like the United Nations. Yes. It doesn't matter.
It's the best melting pot. Do you know why? Because you're gonna tap to whoever's got that fucking choke something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a great leveling ground. In my gym, I train at Gracie Bradenton under Sonny Parlin. I got to tell you. So when all my shit went down, I was in DC. There were death threats coming against my family. There were death threats coming against my kids that people were calling saying, I'm going to show up and rape your kids.
Fucked up,
and
right?
And murder them. Oh, no, like horrible fucking people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you
that's
showed
the
up.
Tolerant ones, right?
Yeah. I can tell you showed up. Wasn't my fucking church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at churches. Like, I was a youth pastor. I was a worship pastor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the church. It was my jiu-jitsu community. You know, he showed up, Sonny fucking Parlin, and a handful of people with their guns that got my family out of my house and protected them for the weekend I couldn't fucking be there.
Yep.
And these people, they don't have opinions outside of we're humans and we're all just trying to make this shit work together.
Mm-hmm.
So
you blood, sweat, and tears with, like, we have a different connection and bond that I do with some of my best friends of years of guys I trained with and girls I've trained with over the years. Like, we have this different, it's a different bond. We experience it's like Steve and his battle buddies, dude. Like, you went through you go through hard, crazy shit all the time, even though we're all volunteering to be in that section. You know, I mean, Steve volunteered too, you know, but like in a different way, you know,
I wasn't drafted. No one forced me.
Yeah, so like
you signed up for it.
The fuck was I thinking? Thanks for letting me do this, Garrett.
You got bamboozled, bro. And once we woke up, what have we been doing ever since? Sitting here talking our shit, letting our stuff know. We've been there, and we're some of the most patriotic and loving and family oriented people. But like, the difference is I always say with politicians too, like, if nobody ever admits they're wrong, I would respect you so much more and be like, we fucked up, we're going to fix it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's
nobody will do that. And that's when you know that it's unfixable. And I think there's a little clause in the Constitution about that where you can hit the restart button. Just saying. So,
is that in there? Cause I thought it was
in
there.
It was. Yeah. But okay. You know, yeah. But
I think it's time to hit that fucking button.
something about trees and thirstiness or something. I don't know.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't really read books.
Yeah, me neither.
Feeding the tree of liberty.
You never had enough time on your hands to read a book, right?
Garrett always says, like, we got to write the ship, and then occasionally after a couple of whiskeys, I'm like, no, we need to sink the fucking ship. Like, we need to start over, because like you and you guys, you were on with Cap'n Skaggs and Two Doomed Men. You guys did an episode titled National Divorce.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
It's not.
It's harder than you think. It won't be like a line. There won't be a line, because it'll be cutting through like neighborhoods and shit.
I think yes and no. Like, we're already kind of on that path of self-sorting.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the exodus from like states, like people are moving to places they want to exist in, under laws they want to exist in, mm-hmm. under economies they want to live under, mm-hmm. right? I think let self-sorting continue for a couple of years, yep. and eventually we build a dual economy, and some people need more federal assistance than others.
And what that means. It.
What's that?
And you're going to see it.
Yep.
Yep. You're going to see what policies work and which ones don't.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the states that need less federal, you know, help pays less than taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And
I like
the,
that.
The other states, they have to pay more in taxes because they need more from the federal government. I'm not trying to go war with my country. No. I'm just trying to separate the ideals that are talking about mutilating children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for all intents and purposes, and this is, I wrote a paper about 10 years ago in college talking about the push of homosexual marriage in the country. And being a libertarian, I'm like, look, you can be married. I don't give a shit. I have no qualms with that. Like, it's not going in my mouth. It's going in yours. So mm-hmm. have at it. I literally don't care.
It's just not my speed.
Yeah. But where is the stopping line? Like, where is the line in the sand? And I said, it doesn't stop here, because every time the right says, well, fine, we'll give you, you know, 2 yards on this thing, you give 10 yards over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we are so far from saying, listen, not only am I going to say this policy that you want to enact is what I don't want, but we're also going to have to take it 2 steps back. And the GOP has done none of that.
I know. I forget who it was, but they were saying, I think there was a bill introduced. I don't exactly remember, but like for every law that was written, you have to enact like unact or whatever, like 5 laws or 10 yes. laws. Cause there's books on the law.
Yeah, there's a sunset clause.
Sunset clause. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So that's like exactly what it is. Yes.
There's been laws that have been on the books for like, do not eat ice cream on Sundays in Belleville, New Jersey. Like,
yeah, you will go to jail. Pies in Maryland.
You will go to jail
on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still laws that are on the books that like nobody filed, but like, there's too many laws too. That's my other thing.
It's always the intention.
Literally like, we're writing another bill to enact another law, like, and everybody's like, yeah, more law.
Yeah.
More. And I'm like, proud. Like, 10 commandments work pretty well. Bill of Rights, stuff like that.
Hammurabi got it right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlton Heston was okay. Right.
Well, it's always so like, think about, okay, I think about these things where it's like, well, puberty blockers for, you know, adolescents, preteens, you know, what is the actual push for that? What is the actual
end game for this?
Depopulation.
No, I think it's actually more perverted than that. When you tell kids that they are capable of making decisions over their sexual autonomy before they're 18,
I know you're going,
you can
with
reduce the age of sexual consent.
Minor attracted person.
Yes, maps.
Maps.
This is
know about that maps.
That's
this
the next
is the goal.
They should be wiped
this
off
is
the
goal.
Maps.
Look, we always argue about the thing they're doing. We never argue about the thing they actually want.
100%.
And that's what I'm saying. We are mm-hmm. talking about 2 steps down the road. We got to talk about 2 steps backwards
mm-hmm.
because there is no fighting common grounds. There is redeveloping our ground.
I think that, and I've said this on other shows, I think this is one of the biggest pushes with the transgender and everything mm-hmm. issue and, you know, age of consent and everything is, I feel in my bones, it's going to come out what these sick motherfuckers have been doing for a long time. And yep. what they're trying to do is soften the blow. So when yes. it comes out and be like, it's okay to be a MAPS. It's okay it's to be fine. The transgender. Michelle Obama's transgender. It's okay. You know, like I think us going through all those things, this is the slow drips that they're trying to, they know it's going to come out and there's no stopping what's coming yeah. to, for them to come out. And I think they're trying to soften their landing as much, but I think it's something that's going to backfire because even yeah. the gay community is not down with what's going on and how they're being bastardized and everything else. Because, like, listen, I have friends that are gay and lesbian, and they're great fucking people. And they have families and they have everything else.
Gays Against Gerbers. Like, there's a whole thing. I have
an organization.
So two doors down, we have Gabers. Called them instead of neighbors, Gabers, right? Yeah. And they're great people. Like, they're actually fantastic people. And I have nothing against them. Like,
no,
they're good just like people. Us. They're just like us. This is not, again, super libertarian. It's not going in my mouth. I literally don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
But why the fuck do you got to fucking dance at my kid's school?
No, there's no, this is the whole thing. And this is always my argument. It's like, if I brought my kid to the strip club,
jail.
Yeah. I don't take my kids to Hooters. Like, there's this thing where, like, oh, but the right's fine with Hooters. Like, no, I also don't take my kids.
We're not.
I also don't go to Hooters because I respect my wife. Mm-hmm. And I don't do those things because I respect the fuck out of her. And I'm not going to go.
Years.
You've been to Hooters. The Hooters are also shit. So.
No, they're terrible, bro. They'll give you shit, man. They were. That's like what you used to go for. Like, all right, Hooters and wings, right? Cool. And you're going, like, they were just like butter slop, something hot sauce. You're like, oh, it's terrible.
That's also what they've done to men is they've told them, like, if you want to be I'm not going to tangent here, but they've told women that in order to be a strong woman, you have to have an OnlyFans, not have kids.
I know.
Your sex is all you can fucking offer. So
that's,
wear your tight fucking shorts and shirts out in public because that's all men want. Now, listen, here's the rub. It's kind of true.
Yeah.
But if that's all you're going to offer, that's all I'm going to want.
But exactly. That's also exactly it. Mm-hmm. There used to be true value to a woman, right? Men are we're very fickle, right?
Yeah.
You show me a great set of tits. You show me a great ass. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but stare. Because I am primarily physically drawn to the image of what a beautiful woman is, right?
Yep.
But it's shallow. There's nothing. Yeah, exactly. Bing, bing. Yeah.
Yeah. Locator beacon.
There's nothing. There's nothing worth that. That is worth staying and investing in, right? Mm-hmm. So we've done a disservice to both men and women by saying women only have this value. If women want to change the actual world, they actually want to see men come back to being good men. Get off of fucking Tinder.
Yeah.
Get off of Tinder. Stop have going kids. To bars. Go to church.
A lot of them.
Go to fucking church. Yep. Be someone who is not so easily captured and maintained because you have more to offer than your body. You truly do. And the lie is that that's all they have. And the lie that's been sold to men, or at least, you know, men have propagated, is that that's all they have to offer. So there is this duality that we're existing in right now where men are going after.
No, because but the women's value in certain situations has definitely decreased, where it's not just that, like when you used to be, you know, let's say go back in the day. Right. And it might be not a popular opinion, but the women, their value was childbearing.
Sure.
Nowadays, a lot of them come with children.
That's true.
Okay, so you lost that, all right? So that's one of the assets and one of the biggest values that was brought to us. Now that value is off the table for 90% of the men, especially at a young age, right?
But that's a product of their conditioning.
1,000%. Like, but I'm just saying. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying that was a value that was brought with men. You know, the other thing was taking care of the family. Now it takes two people to take care of the family, right? The other thing that happens is now what's the bonus for somebody like us where, like, okay, we do. Now half your shit's gone.
Yep.
There's nothing but penalties for men on that side because even if you end up in divorce, you're not getting assistance. They are.
No,
they're not. You're not getting money. They are. You're not cutting time. You know, you're cutting time. They aren't.
Yep.
They're getting all the help. So even if that's the difference between men and women. Like, we fall flat on our face. There's nobody there to save us.
Oh,
women,
there's a whole system
and a network and help single mother, which is great. Like, you need certain things like that. But there's so many layers of safety for women. Even if shit hits the fan, like if everything hit the fan on me, my wife could go out go get assistance for the kids and herself. They'd put her up in an apartment and I'd be fucking sleeping in a gutter because they're like, you're a fucking man. Go work, bitch.
Yep. No, your wife could have an abortion without your you know, consent. Just because that, like, they could literally kill your kid. Like, I completely agree. Men's rights are something we don't talk about. We don't espouse on because, you know, oh, you're a sexist if you talk about it. Right. And look, men for a very long time gave up all of their hours, all of their work, their entire lives to have a woman stay home to raise kids, make sandwiches. And the issue is we made that not valuable. We made them feel like the thing you're doing is not valuable.
Well, so 100%.
Yeah. Full disclosure. No, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
On both sides.
Yeah. I'm a stay-at-home dad. So I'm living the actual like reverse. So I can see.
You're living a dream. Actually, you're living a dream.
You got five boys. You can go train jiu-jitsu all day.
Out.
Start drinking beers by 12. It's amazing.
Crushing.
Who cares? You got five of them. They can do the laundry. You just divvy out the charge. You're just
like the conductor of the orchestra.
Yeah. Well, I was told that I was unemployed because when a man is a stay-at-home dad, he's unemployed. But when a woman does it, it's the hardest job in the fucking world.
You bum. You're a bum.
You bum, you freeloaded hippie. That's why that hair is long. I got you.
So I have this unique perspective where I can see both angles of it, right? I can see where you lose so much of your identity when you're a stay-at-home parent because everything is sacrificed to the kids. You don't have these interactions at work where you have like friendships and shit. Like you were literally changing diapers, doing laundry, making sure meals are fucking prepared. I think we did a disservice to women across like two or three decades that developed exactly where we are. So I blame
feminism.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, we developed a toxic idea of feminism, right? Because we didn't promote the positive side of it, where what you're doing is valuable. What you're doing is raising kids to be good men, good women. We devalue these things. I'm saying what we need to do is get away from the modern age femininity, which is dye your hair blue and, you know, have an OnlyFans and, you know, your fucking body counts as high as you want. That is so anti-feminism.
Well, it goes to your point earlier where it's like you give two steps to the leftist or the progressive, and you're really giving away 10 steps down the end of the line. The feminists thought they were doing the right thing, two steps. Now we're 10 steps ahead, and they're not there. And men are better at being women, and their Time Magazine Women of the Year are all men, and the best competitors in women's sports are all men. Like, this is where you're saying where it comes, the pendulum comes around and catches up to you a lot quicker than you thought when you gave away freedom number one, freedom number two. We're watching this in real time, and you can take so many things like the feminine movement. You can take all that stuff and show this on this time, like just like what we're doing, kicking it around, shooting ideas, throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks, giving your idea, giving your opinion, giving this, and we're like, holy shit, you know?
This backfired. This really backfired on us.
But this also goes back to the original thought that it is not me versus you, right? There has always been this idea of let's keep the people dissenting against each other. The feminist movement was a direct correlation of the government saying you're not a woman until you have a job and abandon your family, right? That's also all propaganda. And it was meant to set men against women. And I'm a classical feminist where it's like, the thing that God made you to be is the most beautiful thing you can possibly be. My wife, when she was pregnant, has never been more beautiful than when she was carrying our children. I am in love with that woman when she is pregnant because that is the literal physical expression of our love together, bringing life into the world. And the government set upon us to also not just separate parties, but also separate men and women. And we are meant to be a functioning pair together. That is how God designed us to be. And when they are separating us from each other with these new feminist waves and these new masculine waves, they are ruining God's design. And that is where I'm at.
Well, that's also the agenda to make everybody have no identity, and it doesn't matter if you're boy or girl. And if you look at the God that these people worship, they have all the parts. And this is a plan that has been in play for a very, very long time. And once you and I tell everybody, I know certain things sound very outlandish and crazy, but it doesn't matter if you believe in it, if those people believe in it wholeheartedly, because that is their reality, and that is what they are going to push on the rest of us that aren't living in that reality, that aren't living in that secret world, that don't have all the other information and doing the things that these people are doing.
How do we save them? How do we get them out? How do we keep them from drowning in their own existence? Because they're living in a place that is keeping them.
God, I don't think all of them are human, man.
Talk about lizard people now. We're going to lizard people.
I'm not on lizard people yet, dickhead. Okay, but I'm just saying. There's hey, you're a man of God, right? So there's good and evil.
There's demons out there. There is definitely good. I don't know how much there is. There is evil, and I also think that there is What is that? There's two types of evil, right? There's the people who don't know they're doing evil, right? Mm-hmm. And the people who actively do evil. Mm-hmm. So
the benevolence of evil.
Yes. So benevolence and malevolence. Yeah. So I don't know I don't know what the percentage split is between the two, but I definitely think that the more that this Liberal Party goes towards abortions at 9 months, the more they go to, you know, imprison people who are running for political offices, that the malevolence population is definitely gaining at a very steep rate, almost exponentially.
Well, it's a huge form of child sacrifice if you ever did see one.
I have not seen those. I will tell you that.
That's what abortion is. You're sacrificing a child.
Yeah, I haven't seen those because, you know, all of my children have been born.
Yes, mine too.
So I can tell you there's a story. I can give you some details. And from Haiti, where in Haiti, there's a lot of voodoo. There's actual children sacrifice. There is evil that exists in Haiti in a very deep rooted way. And there was a missionary that spoke to us, and he showed up. He ran a child's orphanage down there with he and his wife. And he showed up to one of these rituals one day, and there were multiple kids in cages. And he asked them, he's like, you know, what's going on? And they plan on sacrificing multiple kids. I mean, like multiple kids, like slitting their throats and just literally killing them because that's what their gods demanded. Mm-hmm. And he bought them for $20, multiple kids, $20, US dollars, saved their lives. And they've been adopted now from other families. I won't delve too deep into they are, but this, the evil does exist. It really truly does. And I think a lot of people live in a space where it's like, well, the most evil person, you know, forgot to take onions off my burger at McDonald's.
No, there's evil motherfuckers in the Congo castrating women and doing all that other shit, and it's all over the world, and it's in a city near you. And that's what I always say. People don't understand the real level of violence that is out there.
Yeah.
Because we live in even though with all the craziness and all the mass shootings and all the other things that are going on, we live in the safest time we've ever lived in as humanity. You don't have to wake up every morning and look over the hill and be like, are the Vikings coming?
Yeah.
Oh shit, listen, they're gonna rape and pillage, like hide the women, hide the children, you know, like we our lights go on when we need it. We're hungry, we go to the fridge, we're cold, we turn up the heat. You gotta talk to your friend, you pick up the phone. Like we live in the most cush time that there possibly is right now.
And for the record, the guy who put onions on my burger today at McDonald's, you don't deserve $20 an hour if you can't not put onions on a cheeseburger. So
listen up, kid.
Yeah. Were they them?
No one.
I don't eat fast food. That was a lie.
Yeah, no. So,
but it makes sense though. Awesome. Dude, this was awesome. I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll do it again and I'll definitely dump in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, man, you're more than welcome. Come up anytime you want to train. You are my favorite meme of the world.
Ever.
Yeah, it's wild, right? You go from just this regular dude being one of the most famous memes as well to, hey, you had like to put some time
world
in for
famous
it, but it was
overnight.
Well worth it, in my opinion. So, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing to get out the word? I know you said, you know, you're kind of just staying at home, trying to be low-key. You got to kind of, you know, bide your time with a couple things, but, you know, I'm sure somebody with you with this much passion and everything else, you like you said, they're not going to keep you quiet. So if there is any next steps, what are the next steps for you and how can people support you?
Fiscally, don't support me because you can't. I got a plea deal.
Yep.
What you can do is fiscally support culture warriors that are out there that are bringing people into the fold. There are people that are very extreme where it's like you can support them, but they're going to be shadow banned. But what I do support is, again, Christian ideology. There is, Paul has this idea where people need, you know, milk before they can eat solid food, right? Mm-hmm. And people who are bringing milk to the world, you know, these babies, these infants who are just coming over, are the people we need to support because it takes softness to get people to wake up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't CIA, you know, waterboard people like, look, it's all happening at the same time. You know, you're going to lose people. So people I suggest you follow are Nerdrotic. It's Gary. He does a streaming about culture wars. Tim Pool, I suggest you follow him as well. People call him a milk toast, you know, fence sitter. Yeah, but
That's Steve's guy.
These people are bringing people into the fold. And they're doing so strategically because you can't just look what they've built across 30 years is not something that you can rush. It is not something you can take over overnight. It takes strategy. It takes people in for the long haul. So there are people that are doing softer stuff where it's like, hey, have you considered, right? It's poking a bear. It's piquing interest. Find these people.
Yep.
Support these people because that's how you win the general populace, right? So Nerdrotic, Critical Drinker, Chrissy Mayer, Tim Pool, these people you definitely want to go support, look after, because these are the people who are actually going to turn people over to say, like, I also don't agree with that. And I wasn't sure that I could disagree with that. So go look at them.
No, very, very, very well said. We appreciate you, and then love to definitely have you back on if you have any updates for us or when you're ready to rock and roll.
That was
help
fun.
You out.
But yeah, I'll be around, man, and I'll see you up there in like a couple of months because I'm almost done.
Awesome, man. Come on up and take the visit. You're more than welcome. Come train by us. So, man, thanks again for coming on, Adam, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. They use terms like we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. This was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use the full power of centralized government. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape. This is the last stand on Earth.